90 years old and to a dad that was 100 years old. When I was born, there was such joy and happiness in the home. It was incredible. I know I don't remember, but I had my little fingers out, and they would, I would grab a hold onto their fingers, and they would smile, and they would giggle, and they would let me do almost anything. It was so cool growing up with the parents that loved me so much. I remember, I don't really remember, but I am sure that I'm surprised that I don't walk like this, because that's how they teach you to walk. You know, you're holding on to mom and dad's hand, and you're trying to learn to walk. It's amazing we all don't walk like this. You know, just walking around, saying, how you doing? You know, that's how we learn to walk. I remember once in my teens, I was in the tent, and I heard a whole bunch of soldiers arriving. They had swords, they had weapons, and they were coming in. Abimelech, the local king, was coming. And he was coming to talk to my dad. And you see, I know the stories. I remember my dad telling me about when my cousin Lot was captured, and Abraham got everybody together, and he beat up on 5 kings. This is only 1 king. He's coming with his army, and he's all out there, and I was watching outside the tent. And now you have to remember that Abimelech and my dad didn't meet very well on the best of circumstances, because Abimelech took mom. And then God did something. I don't exactly know what, but God did something, and my dad had to pray for Abimelech to pray everything to work out right. And mom came home. It was good. And they called that place the well Beersheba, the well of 7, or the well of oaths. And now when I turned 17, yeah, my mom and my dad, they loved me so much. I was the apple of their eye. They loved me so much. I had a stepbrother. And Ishmael would tease me, and I would kick him too. But don't tell him, mom. They sent Ishmael and Hagar away. At least I had somebody to fight with my own age. Well, not exactly. It was older. But God, they loved me so much, they sent Ishmael away because there might be tension or trouble. They loved me a lot. And then one time around 17, something happened. It was weird. It was scary. Well, you know what? Let's read it from God's word, because God's word is so much better than the pastor trying to be Isaac. Amen? Okay. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Stand for the reading of God's word. The scripture says, sometimes later God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, Hanani, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there on a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early in the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled and he took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he sent out for the place God told him about. And on the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering and the place placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried fire and the knife. And as the 2 of them went on, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place that God told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham! Abraham! Hineni, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, and you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offerings, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Lord, I pray that you'd open up your word to us. May we have ears to hear, eyes that see. Holy Spirit, they don't need to hear what I have to say. They need to hear your voice. And Lord, we trust that they will hear your voice and say yes and amen. You may be seated. This is a part 10 of a 10-part series. Amen. You know what? I had a professor that says, you remember, but you mostly forget. So I'm going to run through these. I think just touching on them, the Lord might say, hey, there's something here. I want you to. So I'm going to let him speak through just really quickly. Abraham's call and offering of return. And I'm skipping. I'm just doing the ones that Abraham has, okay? 2, Abraham honors God with a tithe. That means giving God your best and 10%. And we learned about giving him the best on the first altar that we talked about. Abraham making a covenant with God saying, until death do we do us part. Then the offering of circumcision. Have to get rid of those. Offering of circumcision, which is kind of like no turning back. No turning back. Once you make the decision to follow God in circumcision, there's no way to undo what God has already done. And it's no turning back. It's 100, I might call it sanctification in the Old Testament. It's complete surrender to God. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do that. Then we talked about the altars of difficulties and mercy. This is there really anything too difficult for me? And if I was going to preach it again today, I'd be talking about our nation. Most Christians, I think that our nation is too difficult for God because they're not praying. No, it's not too difficult. There is nothing too difficult for our God. Then the altar of healing. That's with Abimelech, where this is really interesting, praying the enemies to be healed. God using us. Then the altar of seeing and hearing, which is Hagar, the outcast, that God sees even the people that we kick out. And this is number 10, the eternal God, our provider. God, can you even put yourself in Abraham's place? You're here doing morning devotions, and the Lord, I want you to take a 50-mile trip, a 3-day trip, And I want to take your son, you know, the one that you prayed years and years and years and years for, that one, spoiled, that one, the one that you think is your retirement account, that one, the one that you think is your nursing home insurance policy, that one, you mean you want that son? You want me to take that son and you want me to go 50 miles? Sacrifice him there on a place that you'll show me? Is that what you want me to do? Yes. How many of us would be still serving God today? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul? And the second one, do you love your neighbor as yourself? You mean that one. And the Lord is speaking to some of you today. Because something that has gotten in front of God in your life. And the Lord Jesus is going to ask you to sacrifice it today. Maybe not today. He might say, we need to talk about it and give you 50 miles to walk to talk with him about it. Abraham, this is phenomenal. It says early the next morning. I think I would have slept in. I think I would have said, is it really you, God? Trust me, I've done that while preaching. I've been arguing with God way too much. Fortunately, God is so merciful and so gracious to this pastor. We serve a gracious, loving, and merciful God. Because in my Bible, it doesn't say anything. It says, next morning he went out and cut wood. Can you imagine cutting wood that burden your son on? I can't even fathom that. And he takes the wood and he gets the fire. I don't think Abraham told Sarah at all. Because something to say about sacrificing her son. I don't know. It doesn't tell me. It just says early the next morning, he grabbed two servants, his son, and they started walking a 50-mile journey, 3 days walk. God was addressing a real situation in Abraham's world. He's 115 years old. He was all set. Can I ask you this? When God is speaking to you, do you grab and do the most pragmatic thing to do what he has called you to do? Dreams? Where are you going to retire? Where is he placing you? All these types of things. Very simple. Jesus called us to be fishers of what? How are you doing at it? Are you doing something other than for men? Because if you are doing other things than fishing for men, I would say maybe you are distracted. Did he change the command? Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to command everything I have commanded you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm preaching at me. Is God really number one in your life? Because friends, whatever's number one in your life, if it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, coming today and asking you to sacrifice that right now on the altar before him. If there's anything that's in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, it needs to go down. It needs to be sacrificed.
You see, the ultimate test of love is what one is willing to give up on behalf of another.
I love Abraham. He loved Jesus. He loves God that much. He gets up and he gets it and he gets going. Did you know what he tells the servant? He told the servant, stay here. And then he said, I will come back. He said, we will come back. Abraham, are you lying? I don't think he's lying. I believe he believes we are coming back because God made some promises about Isaac that's going to happen even though he's dead. He believed God so much that he believed he could slay his son and his son would still be alive. I don't know how that works in your head. And in case some of you are getting all a little bent out of shape about slaying our kids, I don't want you to stand. But how many times have you slain kids? You say, Pastor, I didn't take out a knife and kill them. They're not in the grave. No, I'm talking about when they ask you to go do something and you say, I'm too busy. I'm talking about when you're in front of a television instead of being with family. I am talking about being at work instead of being at the time that you need to be with family. I'm talking about the times that we have sacrificed family on the altar of our work, the altar of our hobbies, on the altar of you name it. We have sacrificed our kids. So some of us get this holier than thou with Abraham. We all come to a place of, Lord, forgive us. We all come to that place. We all come to the same place at the foot of the cross. And our nation is killing tons, millions of kids through abortion. Horrible. And you say, how can God, the God of, that we serve, ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? Well, Moloch was doing it. Asherah was doing it. All his neighbors were killing their sons to prove their dedication to that God or that God. And God was coming to Abraham to prove that he's a different type of God. He is the God of the universe. And in case you want to see it in God's word, I've lost my page. It's in Leviticus. Maybe. I have it somewhere. Leviticus, it says, do not offer your kids as sacrifice on the altar. He bans human sacrifice for all eternity in Leviticus when he gives the law. Abram is walking with his son, Isaac. I love Isaac because Isaac says, I see the wood. I see the fire. Every time before that you've gone out, you've always looked for the very best lamb. You always checked it out. You checked out the hood, the whole thing. You made sure that this lamb was perfect with no spots. You always gave God. And Abram goes to his son. God's going to provide it. In the Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 19, it says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead.
God who sees, as he goes to slay his son. I mean, it's pretty far. Bound, laid on the sacrifice, he's reaching for his knife, and the Lord sends an angel saying, "Hey, stop, stop. Now I know there's nothing more important to you than and what Abraham told his son, God will provide the sacrifice. He looks up and he sees a ram caught in a thicket. And he goes over and he grabs the lamb and he sacrifices the lamb, puts it on the altar. I want you to catch this. He's sacrificed the lamb. He put the lamb on the altar and the fire is burning. The fire is burning not on the lamb and all of this stuff. And Abraham saying, that was going to be my son. Thank you, God. When it was God's son that was going to be put on the altar, when it was God's son that was on the altar, you know what we yelled? We yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." We didn't say, "Stop, stop." We said, "Crucify him, crucify him." We serve a God that does not ask any of us, any one of us, something more than he did not himself. We're going to have communion in a few minutes. Let me tell you another story. Each one of us in this room, we have sinned. We have wronged God. We have said things that we've lied, we've fought with others, we have been unchristlike in many, many of times, and we deserve death. And Jesus says, "Dad, I will take their place. I will lay on the altar for them. I will willingly lay on the altar for them so that they may be forgiven, that they may enter into my rest, my place. Not only that, I will kill the fatted calf. I will give them clothes. I will purify them from the inside out. I will do it for them." The Lord God is still providing for all of us in this room. For our sins, but guess what? He's providing for everything. Everything that we have comes from the Father of lights. They are all a gift.